Thank you, God. Let's start out in John 18:35. So here, Jesus is talking to Pilate. You know, Pilate calls him in and wants to talk to him, and you know, is basically like, "What are you doing? I mean, what are you standing for that these people are accusing you? You know, you can die here. Your life's on the line. What are you doing? And are you who they say you are? You know what? You know, defend yourself, basically." And he talks to Jesus. I mean, that's just almost laughable when you think of who he's talking to. He's talking about the ruler of the universe. He thinks he's somebody. Pilate's a governor. You know, he thinks he's a ruler, and he thinks he's somebody. But he's talking to the king. And so back up to verse 33. It says, "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?' Pilate answered him, 'I, a Jew, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here.' Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" And Pilate continues talking to him. But you know, he said back in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. I'm a king. I mean, I'm indeed a king, but it's not of this world. It's not what you think." He said, "My servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." And then he says in the next verse, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." But that phrase, for this cause Jesus came to witness to the truth. But he came, like that song said, he lived to die. He came to come to the cross. That is the cause of Jesus came from the time he was born into this earth. It was to pay the ransom for all of mankind. All of history from the time Adam sinned and before, because God had a plan, all of the Bible, all of history was going towards Jesus coming on this earth, being born into the world, all the prophecies that exist, you know, throughout the scriptures speak of this Messiah that's going to come and redeem the world. All of history was going towards getting the Messiah into the earth so that the people, the God's creation, could be redeemed. And all, you know, the whole Old Testament, all history is going towards this one event. There's all these scriptures, all these prophecies that are speaking of this Messiah, and Jesus knows who he is. He is God. But he has emptied himself. He's still God. He's still deity. He is also a man. He's emptied himself of the glory of God. At this point, and we'll see that later, you know, some verses that say that, but he is God, and he knows why he's come. And he's standing here talking to a man that has some earthly power, said, "Yeah, I'm a king, but I've come for a reason. If my kingdom were of this earth, there would be no fight." You know, it's like when they tried to capture Jesus. You know, "Are you he?" He says, "I am." They all fell down. You know, they had no power over Jesus. Jesus laid down his life. They didn't kill him. It doesn't matter who put him on the cross. The Jews put him on the cross, but it's not like, well, they killed Jesus. No, they didn't. He laid down his life. They may have physically done it, but Jesus laid down his life. He's the king of the universe. I mean, here is one of his creation talking to him as if he has power over him. He said, "Yeah, I'm a king. If you only knew who you were talking to. Yeah, I'm a king, and I've come for a reason." And as, you know, Jesus, what we're celebrating this week, I mean, or what we acknowledge is Palm Sunday, when he came back into, you know, he came back on a donkey, and everybody was acknowledging, saying, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." They're thinking he's going to set up an earthly kingdom. They're thinking he's come back and his kingdom is of this world, and he's going to set up the earthly kingdom. And that's not what it was. That's not what he was doing. He was redeeming all of mankind, redeeming us, but he came as a servant. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that Jesus had this cause he came for, but he laid the example for us to follow. He set an example. And so when we go and live our life, it's to follow him and what he did by laying down his life. If you want to turn over to Matthew 20, Matthew 20, verse 20. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your left, on your right hand, the other on your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So these two, you know, this mother of the two sons, you know, comes and says, hey, I want a special place, you know, for them. And so the other disciples were displeased. And somebody says, because they got to ask first, you know, they were asking first instead of them. But Jesus said, look, it's not like what you think. If you want to be great, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then be a servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Yeah, I looked at the word ransom. It's just like what we think, but there's just, you know, several things there. It says the word signifies a release from slavery or captivity brought about by the payment of a price. Sin demands an atonement or price paid because of the penalty of death that was upon us. Jesus' gift to us was himself, a universal ransom for many that was of a, you know, substitute that he substituted for us. The word defines the price paid by canceling our debt. So Jesus, that's the whole reason Jesus came. The reason he came, he said, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I didn't come to sit and have everybody bow down to me and serve me. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pay that price that we couldn't pay. He came because we had a penalty on us. I mean, we are not perfect. And because the minute, you know, Adam sinned, he blew it for everybody, but we, you know, if we were there, we probably would have done the same thing. And today, none of us stand here perfect. And at that moment, judgment has to come. There has to be a price paid for it. And Jesus stepped in and paid that price so that it wouldn't fall on us. And that's why he came. He came, you know, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was ordained, you know, to come. God had a plan. God had a plan for Jesus to come and to do this before Adam ever sinned. It didn't take God off guard. He gave Adam a free will, and Adam used that the wrong way. He used it to sin. But Jesus came to be a ransom, to redeem us, to loose us. I like some of the words that we just read. It signifies a release from slavery or captivity brought about by the payment of a price. That not just the fact that we had a price paid for us to release us from the penalty of sin, but from the devil's kingdom, from all his bondage, from all the chains that he tries to put on us, all the things that he tries to ensnare us with in this earth, which he does, he tries to get us to act like him. If he can get us to go after him, then he tries to ensnare us. He's a deceiver. He tries to trap us. He tries to get us to do things that look good so that he can snare us. So that he can get us and he can bring us back into captivity, or make us think that we're in captivity, make us think that we're in slavery, even though God, through that Jesus, has paid that price. And so that's what he tries to do. He keeps trying to get us back in, but the fact is, Jesus canceled that debt. And then it also says not to serve, or not to be served, but to serve. Turn over quick to Luke 9, or 19:9. Luke 19:9, this is the story of Zacchaeus. But at the end there, he says, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's why he came. Is we were lost. He came to die for each one of us. He came to lay his life down for each one of us and to seek and save that which was lost. And so he has called us, he set this example for us, more than we'll ever know, more than we can even comprehend. We can sing songs about it, we can think about it, but we really can't wrap our minds around what it means to be the price for billions of people. That somehow that blood is so precious and worth so much that it paid the price for all the people that have ever been and all the people that will ever be until Jesus comes back. Billions of people, his price, what he has done, is more than enough. And I mean, we can talk about it, but I don't think our minds can really wrap around what that transaction meant. But he said he's come to seek and save that. So he has done that. He's laid this tremendous example. And so, like he said to the disciples there, if you want to be great, you basically follow my example. It's not about getting put on a pedestal or all these men thinking that you're so great and telling you you're great and to be served. That's not what it's about. Here's the King of the universe that came as a servant, emptied himself, and laid his life down. And then he said, if you want to be great, do the same thing. And so turn over to John, back into John 13. He says this to his disciples. John 13:13. Or actually, we'll go back to 12. So in here, he's all 13. He's washed the disciples' feet, which I guess, you know, in those days, they go in sandals or barefoot. There's a lot of, you know, they get dirty and whatever, so that's not a nice task to wash somebody's feet, to clean all the yuck off their feet. I don't think it'd be a nice task today, really, to clean somebody's feet. But then I think it would be even worse. So Jesus cleans all the disciples' feet. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said, "Do you know what I have done to you?" He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And here he is about to redeem the whole world. It's not all about just what he did washing their feet. He's given them an example, and he's giving us an example. He says, "I'm your Lord, and I'm your teacher, and I just washed your feet. Do you know what I've shown you?" He said, the servant is not greater than the master. If this is what I'm doing, then you should do the same thing. It's not like Jesus, the King of the universe, the one that redeemed everybody, came to earth, lived a certain way, but then we, you know, as Christians, we're gonna live like the world and come and get all this glory and be served and everything. No, if we're gonna live like him, we're gonna lay our lives down like he did. And that's what he said here. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And he's given them this example, and they don't realize what he's about to do. He's about to lay down his life. You know, they don't even realize the example that he's really given them. But here he says, go do likewise. And that's speaking to us. I mean, sometimes I think we can get so sidetracked. I mean, it's so easy. The Bible talks about it in many places, that it's so easy to get sidetracked and get our eyes on this world. And to look at the government, or to look at what's going on, or, you know, in the world, or the wars, or the politics, you know, or you know, money situations, or the economy, and think in terms of that, or your boss, you know, or your friends, and think somebody has power, or I have to do this, or else I'm not being successful, or, and we can get so minded with this world and forget that this isn't the highest reality, that there is a king. There is a king named Jesus that is over everything. There is no governor that's higher than Jesus. There is no president. There is no ruler in this world. There's no company that above every name that is named, there stands Jesus. And that sometimes we can look and say, yeah, I know what I should be doing for God, or I know I should do this, but this is so important. And I think we can become so familiar with God, or think we're so familiar with things about God, or coming to church, especially with the message that we have, that we have been redeemed, that we're righteous, that we are loved by God, that we can almost count it lightly who we're serving and who we're talking to when we pray. Almost like, well, you know, there's God, but this is the important stuff. When in reality, we are dealing with the King of the universe, all this other stuff. It's kind of like Pilate talking to Jesus. It's so much lower than God and the things of God. I mean, you imagine if the king is asking you to do something. I mean, if this were on an earthly kingdom, you know, we had a king in the United States, and he came to you, to your door, and said, hey, I have a task for you. Can you do it? Most people would perk up and say, well, that's my top priority. I'm doing that. I don't care, come hell or high water. The king asked me to do this. And if anybody came to you and said, well, why, you know, you have these other responsibilities. No, but the king asked me to do this. You know, like that the president came to us personally, and, you know, with all his, you know, detail and everything, came to your door. They cleared the way for miles, come to your door and say, I have a task for you. Everybody would understand if you dropped everything to do what the president asked you to do. But here we have the king of the universe. But because it's not something we can see or feel, and not everybody acknowledges this king, not everybody believes in this king, he'll ask us to do something, or the things that he's already shown us in his word or whatever. I'm not talking about doing things to just, you know, in a condemnation toward way. I'm saying the things that we know we should do are the things that he's asked us to do. And it's so easy to treat that lightly. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. And it's the king of the universe. I mean, it's the same way as what we were talking about, that if you did what the king asked you to do in an earthly kingdom, there would be things associated with that. You're serving him. So you're doing the thing that the ruler has asked you to do. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. That we are, but it's real. I mean, that's the highest reality. This world is going to pass away. You could serve the king, or you could serve the president, and he could stab you in the back. You could do something and he could say, oh yeah, well, I've used you, now I'm throwing you aside. Our king is not like that. We're going to get to heaven one day. And there is going to be a reality. And I'm not saying we do things for the rewards, but whatever, if God has asked us to do something, do you realize we're going to be in heaven someday and stand before everybody by then, you know, is going to have bowed their knee to Jesus. Whether they acknowledge him or not, someday everybody will acknowledge that he is the king. Right now, people say, oh, well, this is God. You know, I believe this, you believe that. It doesn't matter as long as we all believe in all this gobbledygook, but there is a king. And people may not acknowledge him today, but there is a king. And if we acknowledge him and go after him, someday we're going to stand in the presence of God Almighty and all these people, and we're going to have, if we do what he has told us to do, we'll stand right, you know, in his presence, knowing, and everybody else will know, that we served him and that we laid our life down for him. And whatever he's asked us to do, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know how that's going to look. Nobody knows how that's going to be. All I'm saying is that eventually the lights are going to be turned on. It's like we're on a movie set right now. You know, and we're filming something, and it looks like that's real, but as soon as they call cut or whatever, all the lights come on and everything goes normal, and then you can see the reality of that this over here isn't really real. This is what's being filmed. All the realities around it. Well, someday it's going to be like this. This is really just a big movie set. People don't understand the reality of what's really going on. Someday it's going to be, we're going to realize what all was going on through this whole time, and that, wait a minute, people are going to go, my God, that Jesus was the king. All these people that were Christians that we ridiculed or that we didn't think there was anything to it. Jesus is the king. They were serving the king. They were right or whatever. You know, it's just God has asked us just to follow his example. And it's not always glorious. It's not always like you got trumpets following you. To tell everybody what you're doing in your own life, but when we're speaking to him, we're speaking to the king, and we have access right into the king's throne. And I mean, so we've heard that so many times. Sometimes we don't understand, but it'd be just like going in the president's room anytime you want. They don't let you do that. Just you know, opening the door and say, I need to talk to you. But it's so much higher than the president. It's the king of the universe. Thank God. Let's turn over. We'll end here. Philippians 2, 5. Don't ever count it lightly. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. It's so easy to get sidetracked no matter where we are, what we're doing. It's so easy to get sidetracked, to start thinking other things are more important, and really to just say, to take God for granted, basically. You know, you could take your spouse for granted. You could take your kids for granted. Ah, they'll be there. I got to take care of, you know, we'll treat other people better than we treat our own family. We're all guilty of that because we only see other people for a few minutes. You got to live with your family. It's so easy to go and treat other people a certain way because you're going to only be there for a little bit and then come back. Well, you got to put up with, you know, somebody all the day. You know, none of us are perfect to live with and everything. So it's easy to just to take each other for granted. Well, it's easy to take God for granted. We know what he's done. Oh, he's done that. Yes, I know what he's done. And so it's so easy just to not look to him as, you know, really to be esteemed and really to do what he's asked us to do. Like, well, I'll do it tomorrow. People do that all the time with salvation itself. Well, I'll make a decision tomorrow. But Philippians 2, 5, it says this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So there's several things then. He's telling us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's our example. It says, who being in the form of God, that he is God, that he is part of the Trinity, that he is deity, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And that's always been kind of, you know, blind to me. I mean, that language. But it says this in the Amplified. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, let him be your example in humility. So that whole robbery thing, it says this in the Amplified, which I think makes it much more clear. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Like robbery, you know, to hold on to something. It says he didn't count it as something to be just retained and held on to. Rather, he counted it as something to lay down for us. He said, I'm God, but I'm laying the part, the glory of God down. I'm becoming a man. I'm emptying myself. It says, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. When it says he made himself of no reputation, it's like, it means this: to abase, neutralize, empty, nullify. He emptied himself of his privileges. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords said, I'm not going to hold on to this. I'm not coming so that people can just bow down and kiss my feet. I'm taking all that and I'm laying it down. I'm emptying myself of all that. I'm laying it down and saying, they're worth more than any of that. I'm going to become a man. They're not going to look at me with esteem, but I'm going to lay it all down, and I'm going to do it so far. It's laying it down to become a human and to walk like one of them, but I'm going to go that much further. I'm going to walk. They're going to spit on me. They're going to put thorns in my head. They're going to put nails in my hands. They're going to whip me. They're going to totally despise me. They're going to call me names. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to just be condescending to me when they don't know who they're talking to. I'm going to do all that for them. I'm thinking of I'm thinking of Jim Preston. I'm thinking of your name. I can see them 2,000 years from now, and they're worth it. I don't care about all the glory that they think, they could bestow on me. I'm laying it all down. I'm going to go to the cross for them. And it is true. He knows us. He's known us from the foundation of the world. He walked as a man. He sweat drops of blood. It wasn't easy for him. He was a man. And he was not guilty. He had flesh. He was God, but he was man. And he walked, and it was not easy for him to do that. But he said, they're more than important. You think of your child's name and name them in your head. You think of your mother and father's name. You think of the grandchildren that you're going to have. He looked forward through time and he said, they're worth it. They're worth it. I will lay my life down. I'll go to the cross because I know the ones that will believe on me, and they're worth it. And I'll go and I'll empty myself because of them. And that's what our Lord and Savior did. He loves us so much. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it says in verse 9, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, because he did it, and we get, next week it's Easter, and we celebrate the fact that he did it. But he came his whole life knowing this is what was going to happen. What we're talking about this week, the Friday. Sometimes we just skip over, okay, now we're on Easter and let's celebrate. But he came this week, 2,000 years ago. He knew what was coming ahead of him. He knew he was going to have to, his whole life was coming to this point. He knew, this is what I've come for. I have to go through with it. But because he went through with it, he has been exalted. His name is above every name. That at his name, every knee shall bow. Man, I want to be right by him. That's the one I was serving. There will be a day when everybody will know that he's the King. Our precious Jesus, what he did. And if he, so we just go forward and we live our lives according to what he's asked us to do, whatever that is, whatever it is that he's asked us to do. We don't make it big, small, make it so that people see us, make it so that it gets the praise of men. We just do it for him, because it will all be revealed one day. Don't ever think that's a small thing what he's asked us to do. He sees. He knows what we do when nobody else knows what we do. He knows the price we're paying when nobody else knows. And he's asked us to do something. We just walk according to him. Thank God he's done it for us, and he's paid such a greater price. Thank God for Jesus.